What a privilege I have to be with you again and worship God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob together. First of all, I want to thank our Lord Yeshua for another opportunity I have, and thank you, Rabbi Frank, and all congregation. And I know that it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we are so blessed that we have this place which God chose, where we could come and worship and thank our Lord, especially for hope of salvation we have in Yeshua, our Lord and Messiah. With the greatest joy we may have, because our sins are forgiven and our names are written in the book of life. And even when sometimes we do not understand different things may happen in our life, we still to be blessed because we could trust in the Lord. Because we know that God is good. When we keep faithfulness and seek to be holy and live as a holy people, everything was going to happen for goodness. And it's a great blessing to continue to learn from the Word of God, because God continues us to prepare for His kingdom, because He's coming back to restore His kingdom on His earth. So let's open our hearts. It's a great blessing as we also could see one another and pray for one another, trusting to the Lord's promises. Again, life is not easy. It's a spiritual war. We are in a war. But we know the Lord won, and we became part of His glory. So let's continue just awaiting our Lord's return. But whatever God decides, or He's going to call us before He's going to return, or we'll be in a part when God will call His congregation, His church, from the earth. But anyway, it's a great joy when we'll be one day in a heaven with Him, when we're never going to cry again, when we're never going to become sick again, when we're never going to die. And it's because Jesus, our Lord, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures and rose for our sanctification. I also want to thank you very much for your partnership with the Bethel Messianic Ministry, reaching Jews and non-Jews in America and Canada for already 16 years. We share gospel of the Messiah to the Jew first, and the same way to the everyone, because everyone needs the Lord, because Yeshua is only the way to be saved, and He's the Lord. Jews, non-Jews, everyone needs the Lord, because without Yeshua, no hope. And Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures very clearly states about this. That's why we believe of importance sharing wonderful news to people around. And I want to encourage you again and again. Do not be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. But any opportunity you may have, used to tell about Yeshua to people around you. Not to everyone God say that, you know, you have to become full-time missionary, or just quit your job and do this ministry by sharing. But I believe every born-again believer, every born-again Christian should remember a day when his life or her life changed. And this desire, which God has it, should be in our hearts. Even with a couple of words, when we buy milk or bread in a store, when Acacia is scanning our food, we could just do sure. With couple orders. Or when we buy a sandwiches at McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, we could share this wonderful news with the people there. Even through a window when we give our credit card, we have a couple seconds just to remind that this is God, real God, who created heaven and earth, and who created us by His image and likeness, and we who fell in sin, but He who is a Lamb, sacrifice, Lamb of God, sacrifice for our sins. And that's why we have a hope and a love of God. By His mercy only, we are saved. So many, many opportunities. And this is also ministry. By God's will, not just when people call the stadiums, you know, that somebody we could watch through TV, whatever. It's good too. But when we have, again, when we have desires which God has it, right? When we have a source which God has, You know, we could talk about our dedication to Him just to continue to spread Word of God to people around us. So we have a lot of testimonies. We tried to show you a couple of videos, but unfortunately, a couple of days ago, my flash drive was damaged. So it's not going to happen. I'm just going to share, because we met hundreds of people every month, and we come to your city, to Minneapolis area, once, sometimes twice in a year, when we have work. Mainly we preach and share gospel downtown in Russian food stores. I remember from previous time, I met the two sisters. They are owners, Jewish, Russian-speaking Jewish, owners of Russian European food store. And when I started to share about Yeshua, you know, it's very hard to share gospel to Jewish people. I know this. You know that my mother was a Jewish and my father was a Muslim. I'm from the Jewish Muslim family myself. I grew as a Muslim person because for many years we didn't know that our mother was a Jewish, because my father chose to not tell us that he married to the Jew. You know, he was the first of his generation who married to a non-Muslim woman. And my mother was a Jewish, you know, first inherited generation who married not to the Jew. So it's happened. But anyway, it's a hard, it's always hard. It's not but just because the Jew or not Jew, it's always hard to share gospel, because most people, they reject. Within 16 years, let's say 99% people we met whom we share, they reject it. They decline. I don't know what's going to happen in their life or what happened already. I don't know. I know just that I could pray for them, because somebody prayed for me and God gave me His mercy and a gift of repentance. So today we could pray for people. We could pray for them. So when I met these two owners, sisters, Jewish, when they heard about Yeshua, after that, they didn't want to hear it. But after this, they say, oh, whoever he is ours. He's a Jew, so we'll accept him. He is ours, Jewish, you know. Whoever he is, whatever he did it, he is ours. He's a Jew. That's it. Yes, sure, he's a Jew. That's why God chose Israel, to bless all nations in the Messiah, that we could become one in Him. Another testimony from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's not far from Cleveland. We live in Cleveland. We have a very small Russian-speaking Messianic congregation, but we do more missionary work. And we preached in an area called the Strip District. And so many people there. It's like small Manhattan. Pittsburgh is no big city, but the area there, Strip District, is like small Manhattan. You'll see thousands there. They have businesses, like stores, and people walking like pedestrians. I met a homeless. And he told me that from shelter to shelter, he doesn't have a place where he could stay. So I started to share, reminding him, you remember when the Lord said about the places He is preparing and already prepared, I know, who love Him, where we going to be there, you know. And I just try to encourage him that there, in a place God already prepared for us, nobody going to come and ask how much money do we have or who we know and try to kick us out from there. And I said, there is a place forever and ever. When I finished, he asked me a question. And he say, you know what, Igor? I believe, yes, God prepared me a place there too, where I'm going to be. But I have another question. So places, there are going to be enough for everyone. But what about food? Is food going to be enough for everyone in the heaven? I don't know if we're going to eat there. Jesus ate after resurrection. I don't know how it's going to be there. And I answered to him, you know what? Not just the food, everything. Everything going to be enough for everyone in the heaven. In the heaven. And another testimony. We preach a lot in San Francisco area, maybe five times in a year we are there. It's a tough city, and mainly because homosexual activities. It's, you feel in the spirit, you know, it's a darkness. And one day God going to destroy this city, I believe very soon. And I didn't see a lot of visions, very rarely, but I saw this city under the water. I saw buildings which were not destroyed, but everything was under water. That's what I saw. Very seconds, even less than a second. And it's really hard. I have friends who are missionaries in Rome, in Paris, in European capital cities, and you know what's going on in Europe. It's horrible. But what they see in San Francisco, they say it's even more horrible. You know, and just in one city. You know, it's really horrible. But that's why we need to preach more there. And a great need. It's hard, yes, hard. But we continue. So I met a homosexual man. We preach a lot to homosexuals, a lot. Even the most rejections by them, but never know. You know, some of them, they're accepting Bibles from us. Because our ministry also distributes Bibles in different languages, because we believe that only Word of God can bring people to salvation. So I met a homosexual man who was like a woman. You know, he just showed himself as a woman, was sitting at a corner, and I believe he had medical issue problems, illness, because he couldn't see really good. He couldn't even talk. But when I witnessed, I offered him New Testament, small size, pocket size in English, and he said that he has problems with the vision. So if we have something with a bigger letters, and praise God, he had a Gospel of John. But he took in small size too, pocket size New Testament, and Gospel of John with bigger size. So we left, continue, maybe 3 hours. We preached gospel in downtown San Francisco, very hard. You know, wow, one feminist woman tried to attack me, you know. But praise God, everything went well. And we finished and started to walk back to our parking lot. The same way, back same way, same road. And I saw the same man was sitting at the same place. And I just took a left and turned my head on the right. And you know what did I see? He opened the Word of God and read it. He opened the Word of God. 3 hours passed. I don't know, maybe he just was reading it all these 3 hours. I don't know. Since he got this Word of God. I don't know. But this encouraged me. Because Bible says, if we're going to repent, whoever we are, we're all born in sin. We all are sinners. Nothing good in us. But if we repent, God will forgive. And his blood will wash us from all our sins. And a last testimony. Again, we have all these videos about this man also on our YouTube channel. We have 500, maybe more than 500 videos on our YouTube channel. If you wish, I'll leave my flyers, information about our ministry, and on the back, on the very bottom here, the name of YouTube. You could visit, you could watch it, and always, always, we try to upload new videos. As today, God willing, we're going to preach in downtown immediately after the service. Today, somebody going to come, and God willing, we're going to drive to downtown. We have a team with 5-7 people today, praise God, and we're going to preach. But last testimony. I love to witness to rabbis too. I used to live in Israel. I speak Hebrew, and I forgot a lot, but I witnessed to them, you know. And we met a lot of Jews and Orthodox Jews, rabbis. So my flight on Sukkot time last year to Chicago. We preached in Chicago. So we preached in 10 states and a few cities in Canada, mainly in Toronto. And, you know, I love witness in airports too. When I see, you know, in airports, you're always going to see the Jewish people, you know, always like Orthodox Jews, the Hasidic Jews, you know. And I love to come to them, but, oh, they're very angry when I told them that I am a Jew who believes in Yeshua as a Messiah. But anyway, God blesses us. Some of them, they want to have scriptures, and we give to them, praise God. But this time, it was, we were boarding, so I entered an airplane, I took my seat, sat, and I was praying. Because I'm praying, I said, Lord, whom are you going to send? You know, I look at the people, and I'm asking Holy Spirit just to move me to focus for somebody whom I need to share gospel. And I saw Orthodox Jew, who not just entered the airplane, he just sat next to me. But because it was very early and I was very tired and I saw that this Orthodox Jew also fell asleep, I prayed and said, Lord, it's a 1-hour flight.
to Chicago. So when we're going to landed, bless me to witness to him. So we landed, and God touched my heart. And I had the same T-shirt. You see my T-shirt? Jesus made me kosher, right? I had the same T-shirt. And I asked the Orthodox Jew if he speaks the Hebrew. He said, sure he speaks, because he's a rabbi. He's a rabbi. He was flying to a special coins worship in on Sukkot time in Chicago. So all coins who believe that they are coins, not just Levites, but coins from Aaron, who believe that they are descendant of the Aaron, they had a special meeting in Chicago in Sukkot time. So from all America, I don't know, maybe from the world, I don't know, that they flew to Chicago to participate in this special meeting or whatever. So I start to, first I ask him question, what is he thinking about the Messiah? I always ask the Jewish people, who is the Messiah? And he respond to me, Messiah is not who is written on your T-shirt, you know, and he read the Jesus, you know, Jesus made kosher. He said, it's not whom is written, name written on your T-shirt, so it's not Jesus, you know. But I say, you know, I believe that he is the Messiah, Yeshua. So I start to share. He became so angry at me and say, oh, you know, if you, my parents die. I didn't tell him that my father was a Muslim, but I told only that my mother was a Jew. He didn't ask about my father, so I do not tell the Jews that my father was a Muslim, but I do not tell the Muslims that my mother was a Jew. Even they know asking, but anyway, he said, if your parents would be still alive, they shamed on you. I say, no. My parents were unbelievers, but I said, they want to be ashamed. So he said, he doesn't want to talk with me anymore. I have to stop. I said, okay, no problem. So he went out. I went out. So went downstairs to baggage claim area. Choose, because early morning, choose to go to the restroom area just to wash my face. So I started to walk toward the restroom. Saw that rabbi coming out and saw me and start to walk toward me. So I started to pray, say, what's going to happen now? He came to me and say, you know what? You Jew, I am Jew. Why do we need to have a conflict? Let's do not have a conflict. It's Sukkot time, he said. Let's go at a corner and pray together. So I went with him. He gave me love and all this stuff. So I prayed repeated. And during a prayer, I told him again, Rabbi, whatever I said about Yeshua, that he's the Messiah, he is Rabbi. And one day our people are going to know that Yeshua is the Messiah, Lord. And he told me, could be. You know, just maybe 20 minutes ago, he became so angry. Now, maybe, could be. I say, yes, Rabbi. It's not just the could be, he is. Unfortunately, he rejected. I offer him New Testament. I don't know. I had a special for rabbis in New Testament in Hebrew, Brit Hadasha, and he rejected, but he promised it to me that one day he will read it. One day he will read it. So when he left, I just put my hand to the Lord, you know, and just to pray for him. He didn't hear it. He didn't see it. He just walked. But I pray that, Lord, bless this rabbi. Maybe one day he's going to stand in front of his congregation, synagogue, and I give a testimony that Yeshua is the Messiah, Lord. So please continue pray for us. And we need your prayers again. We are a very small congregation. We need your help. Whatever God going to lead your hearts, pray for my family. One of my sons became mentally ill. Very hard. My family goes through a very, very difficult period with all these devil's attacks. I don't want to say that I did not make mistakes. Yes, I did. But God is good. We're still in the ministry by his grace, because it's always joy to be a part of God's great work on this earth. So about this, I want to talk, because God has a plan on this earth. Amen. And it's always blessings to become a part of his great work on earth, part of his great work in Minneapolis. Because it's always joy when we could share this wonderful news, because we care for people, because God cares for people. And Bible says that God so loved this world, he sent only his begotten Son, that we want to be purged but have an eternal life. And I want to just to bring today an example from the Word of God, which is very important even today, because God fulfilled plan of salvation, but His grace did not terminate yet. God continues to save people. And He does this through His congregation, through His church, through His children whom He redeemed. And I'll say it's a great opportunity for us also to investigate our hearts. Not just because Shabbat and special day, but every day to investigate our hearts. On which base we are standing. What kind of faith do we have? We need to ask faith from God, because He has a faith and He gives faith. He has a wisdom and we need to ask wisdom. He has a mercy and we need to ask mercy, because He will really want to be blessed. We need God's mercy. So this story, which happened more than 2,500 years ago, story of Nehemiah, the great servant of the Lord. And this story speaks about dedication. And we also could check ourselves. How do we dedicate to the Lord? Are we? So may Lord bless us and help us to investigate our hearts. And we're going to find something. Let's ask Lord for His mercy and His blood to be washed, that we could confess our sins and get a mercy and give of repentance. But turn our hearts to the Lord and become a real believers. So Nehemiah, his name translated as God comforts. We're going to talk about Ezra, which name translated like God helps. We're going to talk about them. But Nehemiah, who served the great king of Medo-Persia by name Ahasuerus, Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer. He was a Jewish person. And Medo-Persia, the emperor, they almost rule on all the earth. So it was great, great emperor. So one day Nehemiah met his Jewish brothers who just came from the land of Judea, land of his fathers. And sure, when we met some, for example, I came from Russia, from Soviet Union 20 years ago, and if somebody could never been there again, never returned, but I used to live in Israel before we came to America. I used to live in Canada for almost 2 years. Anyway, when somebody comes from Russia or Israel, mainly from Israel, I ask, what's going on there, you know? And sure, I always want to hear good news. When I hear, unfortunately, bad news, it harms my heart. You know, it's a norm. And same what happened with Nehemiah when he met his Jewish brothers, asked about what's going on in the land of his fathers. He unfortunately heard bad news. But the question is, when we hear about needs, about the problems there or here, whatever, how do we react? What kind of reaction do we have? Sometimes we could hear it, we could try, help, and we even give. It's normal, but next couple of minutes, we may forget. I understand that a lot of people with their needs, a lot of things going even close to us, but the true dedicated person, it's not just a person who is walking and see a poor man and give him something, but the true dedicated person is a person who just going to try to be involved in the life of this needy man. And Nehemiah chose to be involved. Judea at the time had the mainly, it was the very bad spiritual condition of the people. Even since, you remember, a couple hundred years ago, even when Israel as a land, as a kingdom was split to the two. You remember, for the northern and the southern, with the 10 tribes led with Ephraim as a lead tribe. They led Israel. They keep the name Israel. And the southern kingdom with Judah's tribe and Benjamin tribe, they start to call the Judea. And we know in the 722 before the Messiah, Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom, Israel, and they took these 10 tribes and mixed with Gentiles. Let's say the right word, the pagans, let's say like this. You remember Samaritans, right? They were descendants of these 10 tribes with the pagans. And Jews, they didn't want to have any connections with these, even their relatives, right? The brothers, but they were mixed. And unfortunately, did not worship God. But after that, after Assyrians, when Babylon came, ruled on the world, now problems with the southern kingdom, the Judea. And we know 586 before the Messiah, they destroyed the first temple. They took two tribes to the slavery for 70 years. And we read that Daniel, prophet, who served the Babylonians, he served also with the Persians, because the Persia became a great country, destroyed Babylonians. And kings, how you call them in English, like Cyrus, like Akil? Cyrus. Was the first Persian king. And God calls him his servant. Could you imagine? The Gentile even became a God's servant, but he gave a permission to the Jews to leave the Medo-Persian emperor and go back to the land of the Judea to restore city and a temple. And Zerubbabel was the first. So when he came, we're not going to read. It's from the book of Ezra, chapter 4. These descendants of the 10 tribes and the pagans came to him and offered help. It's always good when somebody, right, is offering help, right? But Zerubbabel said to them, not. We're not going to accept any help from you. Why? Because you do not serve the Lord, God Almighty. It's a first lesson, great lesson for all of us as believers. We live in this world and we have to become a salt for this world and light for this world, but we cannot participate in the deeds of or in a work of this world. We cannot participate. We have to be light and salt, but we cannot do what this world does. If this is okay for this world, use the drugs or have a sexual relationship before marriage or make adultery, or they say homosexual is fine, we say no, this is a sin, that's it. Because right is a right and a wrong is a wrong. Sin is a sin, that's it. We cannot take any compromises. It's not for a believer. It's not right. I know today a lot of churches, they try to play with this world. And they became very liberal and they say, modern life, modern time, let's do this, those. And they try to change the Word of God. But they cannot change the Word of God because the Word of God is beyond. And Torah is beyond forever and ever. The same as our Lord Yeshua, yesterday, today, forever, He is the same. He is the same. And Zerubbabel knew that he's going to accept the help. He's never going to be blessed. Never. And then he also knew that these people, they are very cruel people. And yes, within 16 years, is that how the devil does, you know? He tried to block construction and building everything within 16 years. And after these people, they send a letter to a king and say, you know what, king? They almost finished and they could call for independence, you know? You're going to lose your land there. And the king of Medo-Persia stopped the start investigation for a short period. After they gave them permission, they finished everything. But the issue was that spiritual condition of people. Because after some time, Ezra went there, but they still have problems with the people. Now Nehemiah, he heard the same problems they had. Spiritual first and other problems they had. And Nehemiah started to act. How? He knew that only Lord could help. The only Lord could bless. And the blessings could come only if God going to open doors and touch our hearts. And he started to pray. You remember Lord's Prayer? Could you remind me? I could say in Russian. Lord's Prayer. You remember? Right. Yeshua gave us as example for us how we should come to the Lord. The first step. Do you want to win? The victory starts in your heart. When you really check yourself and humble yourself and crush your proudness. From your heart, through your heart. But let's start to read and we'll continue. So from the verse 4, I'm continuing. And it came to pass when I... Nehemiah, chapter 1, I'm so sorry. Chapter 1, Nehemiah, verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So he started to act. He was active. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. You see? He started to praise God. First, he humbled himself. He investigated his heart and he came to the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. But most important, he humbled himself. And he knew God. You know that in Hebrew Bible, the name of the Lord always, Yahweh. You know this. We call the Tetramaton, the first letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But because we have a command. So the Hebrews, our people, long, long time ago, they say, if you're going to pronounce their name, you know, by Jewish tradition, the Lord has the different names, you know. But the name of the Yahweh, it's the most name above all. The same name, you remember when Moshe spoke with the Lord and asked him, so you're sending me to take Israel from the slavery and people going to ask, what is your name? And he said, I am, right? This is I am, Yehovah, or Yahweh. And Hebrews, they change because they say, we're going to say this name, above all, and sin, God going to punish us because we have a commandment. So always when we read about, they say Elohim or Adonai or Adon, it should be Hashem, it should be Yahweh. It should be Yahweh. So we read here in English, right? O Lord. But Nehemiah say, oh, Yahweh, you are the Lord Almighty. You are the Creator. You created heaven and earth and others. You are only the God and not any other gods. So he praises him. It's very, very important. He humbled himself and he praises God. You remember the Jonah the prophet on a ship, on a boat, you remember? When this storm got sent. Jonah tried to run from God. Sometimes we try to run from God, but it's impossible. We're going to have much more problems. So the better just agree and do what God calls us to do. But remember this Gentiles came to him. They were surprised because of the storm. And Jonah was sleeping. No problems. Jonah knew what's going on. So they asked him, who are you? And he responded, I am a Jew who serves the God, creator of heaven and earth. Because next we see when Nehemiah praying and say, Yahweh, you are God. And after that, God of heaven. And at that time, the Gentiles, when they didn't know the name of God, but they knew that it's somebody there who is a creator, but they didn't know the name of the God. Yes. They called this, with these words, the God, God of the heaven. The same that the Jonah responded to them, because if he would say to them, Yahweh, they would not understand. Who is Yahweh? So it's also when we met people, when we share gospel, we need to understand. With the Jews, it's good to know something that we really could use for the Jews, because Jews, they know some that going to be more understandable for them. Same the Muslim people, you know. They call the Jesus Isa, but sure, Isa in the Quran is no issue of our Bible. But I know a lot of Muslim people who are good people, who really love people. But it's not enough to be saved. Everyone needs God's mercy of repentance. That's why we love Muslim people. We love the Buddhist people. We love everyone because God loves everyone. That's why Yeshua came to die for these people on the earth, in the world, of the world. That's why it's a great privilege. God chose Jews to be pioneers to spread this wonderful news of love to everyone. Unfortunately, our people failed. Unfortunately, temporarily. But you remember Romans 11:11 says, so they fell so we could be saved. For what? To provoke them to the jealousy. So every believer, former Muslims, former Buddhists, Russians, whoever, as a believers today, as a Christians, they need to remember Jews for God's sake, to take the word, as Romans 1:16 says, to the Jew first and bring back the word of God of the Messiah to the Jew first. Next, 6. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open. How to pronounce it? Tine or tine?
Tine.
Okay, good. That thou mayest hear the prayer of the servant which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. But I and my father's house have sinned. Very, very interesting. Let thine ear now be attentive. So what? God could lose his hearing or the vision? Does God hear the prayers of his children? Yes, absolutely. But when Nehemiah, in Hebrew, if you read it, when Nehemiah is praying like this, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you could, that you would to hear it me. I'm not worthy that you would to see me. I'm not worthy. See, we again, here we again see I'm humblest of the Messiah. Humblest of Nehemiah. How he humbling himself. He's trusting to the Lord. The same when Messiah came to this earth. We know how he humbled himself when he quit his glory in the heaven and took flesh and born on the earth to die. His duty was to die. He is the Lamb of God. When John the Baptist saw him, Yohanan HaMatbel, when he saw him, he said, this is the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world. And after that, we see that God gives Nehemiah blessings, mercies. Nehemiah could see himself that he needs to repent because he understands that he is also in the flesh, human being, and that to continue have this prayer with a God, conversation with a God, he needs to be cleansed. He needs to be washed. And he asks for forgiveness. He is repenting here, but not just for himself. He's repenting for his fathers. He's just repenting for his people of Israel, for his nation. How do we repent when we come to the Lord? Or we do not repent at all? Or we just want to very, very, very fast say, Lord, forgive me all my sins I did just before now. But if you remember what kind of sin did you do, you need to call by name. It's very important. If you remember, you don't need to do it in front of many people in your congregation, but just enter your small room or place where nobody, just you, God. But if you remember what kind of sin did you do, you need to call sin by the name. It's very important that you should see it. What did you do? And just don't do it anymore. And if you could fix it by God's mercy and grace, we have to fix. Many times we try run from responsibility. But we need you go and do according to the word of God and fix when we could fix it. Now, number seven, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgment which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Now, many times we try to tell God that, Lord, yes, we felt, we sinned, but because Uncle Michael or Uncle Peter or somebody did it something, that's why we felt, that's why we sinned. But see, Nehemiah is not defending himself. He's not trying to say, Lord, it happened with our people Israel because some pagans came to us and they tempted us, or some women came from another nations. It happened, yes. But he's not, you know, trying to just say, Lord, just like defending himself. You know, he said, we are guilty, that's it, Lord, we did it. Whatever happened, you know, but we did it. That's why we are guilty. We are guilty. And we need to remember when we come to the Lord, whatever happened, God knows. But do not try to say, Lord, I sin, but because this, I'm a better guy, you know. No, if we did it, we did it. And again, we are not worthy. It's true. If Lord God Father need to send his only begotten son, could we imagine what situation we brought ourselves with a sin that God need to send his only begotten son? Because only his sacrifice could open way to the heaven for us with a hope for eternity. We are guilty, we are sinners, and a penalty for sin is death, that's it. But Nehemiah says in verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, thou there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Here, Nehemiah, trusting in the word of God, because he knows the word of God. He remembers everything God promised, and we remember everything what God promised to us. So our life in the Messiah, also with the trust on God's word. We remember all God's promises, and God said if we're going to confess our sins, he will forgive us. We need to remember. But I want to tell you, every day we need to come to the Lord and confess. But we have to fight. The devil is a great warrior. But by ourselves, we cannot fight. We need God's power. And God's power, the first, is humblest. We need to be humble people. We need to deny ourselves. We need to understand nothing good in us. Nothing good in us. We are sinners, that's it. But the Lord, the Calvary, the cross, the Golgotha, whatever you want to call. We need to come to Golgotha. We need to get this strength from the Calvary and the leaf by taking and be thankful, by taking everything God giving to us. You know, it's what says, you remember in Luke, deny yourself, take a cross and follow me. It's what Jesus said. Right? It's not easy because we don't want to carry cross because sometimes it's very heavy. It's very heavy. But we cannot cut it, brothers and sisters. We cannot cut it because I remember one Russian Christian woman, she's singing a song about some people who carry crosses on their back, and one, it was too heavy for him, but he was not a faithful person, so he went at the corner, put a cross on the earth, took the knife or whatever and cut it and put back now a short cross and started to carry. Now easy, you know, but you know what happened? They came to a place where it was big river, so everyone put the crosses as exact the size they could go through. And unfortunately, when he put his cross, it's now short. He couldn't cross through the river, and he died. So, brothers and sisters, it's a heavy, but we have a Lord. We need to carry. By remembering everything God promised to us. That's why when we pray, our prayer is going to be encouraged. Because we know that God is faithful, and He's our righteousness. He's no man to say and forget, or to say and lie. People of this world, they lie. They forget. But God never forgets. He's faithful. He promises, and He keeps His promises. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. So Nehemiah is saying to the Lord, you always say, when we're going to sin, you'll punish. But if you're going to repent, you're going to restore. And this is your people, Israel, Israelites. Nehemiah, sure, he loved his people. But here's a very important thing, that Nehemiah was a dedicated person. So he knew it. Why God chose Israel? For what? So he cared not just because he was a Jew, but because he was a God's man, and he knew that God chose Israel, that all nations could be blessed through the seed of the woman. That's why he cared first, because he knew that God has a plan on that earth to bring the Messiah, to fulfill a plan of salvation. And that God was looking for somebody who could lead and go and fulfill. God was looking for somebody who could just fix it, so whom he could fix. God is sovereign God. He doesn't need anybody, but he does his history through his children, through his congregation, through his church. And I heard now. And he said, this is your people, Israelites. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. It was 11, verse 11. He now prayed about the king, because he knew that only God could touch the heart of the king. And God touched. The king going to give a permission to the Nehemiah. And he's going to quit everything he had in Middle Persia. Cupbearer of the great king who ruled all the world and all the world. I believe he had a good salary. What do you think? Yes. He had the authority even more than even the commander of the army of the Middle Persia. He had more authority. He gave a cup of wine to the king and to the queen. But interesting, he didn't ask anybody. He asked just the Lord. I don't want to say that God uses people. But our problem, you know, when something happens, we first call to the people. Then first come, bow down, and put our knee down, and pray to God. And after, God will say whom we need to call, right? Or where should we go, right? It's our problem. First, we have to come to the Lord. Nehemiah lived in a secure place in the capital city, Shushan, or the Middle Persia, but he's going to leave everything. He left everything, quit everything. Why? Because he knew it, that God has a plan, and he needs him. And it's great, his great blessing. So he went to Judea when Ezra was there, and they took the Torah and started to read. You remember, Holy Spirit started to anoint people, and they're starting to confess their sins. 6 hours they were confessing their sins. 6 hours they read the word of God. They had pagan women wives, you know, and they need to leave them too. It's very hard. It's very hard. Children, everything, but they need to leave them. Why? Because again, devil uses different things, opportunities, just to, and he used before that Messiah would not come, just to mix it. You know, Jews mix this, that seed of the womb would never come through the what God said, you know, through the tribe of the Judas, you know, and so they need to live it. You know, they need to say them, we cannot live with you together, because otherwise prophecy, you know, would not fulfill. Hard, But people, by the mercy and grace and strength of the Lord, they did it. And for a little more period, short, but anyway, the nation was restored. Was restored. Like he rose from the dead. Why? Because God has faithful people, such as Nehemiah, Ezra, who fulfilled God's plan on earth. But what about us? Lord, he is not saying us that we live in this beautiful country of the United States, which I love very much. You know, and you remember the first congregation, first church. It's not written in the Bible that we, you know, you remember they had something, they sold it and brought all the money to the apostles and they just distributed whoever in a need, you know. It's not in the Bible that we have to do it, no. But Holy Spirit led them, they did it, you know. But God is not saying us that, my children, you live in a beautiful country of the United States and you need to go and live forever, stay like until your days in Africa or in a Muslim countries as a believers where you could be killed very easy, as today we know so many of our brothers and sisters are killed in different countries. Stay in America. I will bless you here. But please, please do not forget that I have a plan for Minneapolis and in Minneapolis. And I have many, many souls whom I created and who don't know that I'm me. Please don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. But tell them that Yeshua is the Lord Savior. Tell them this wonderful news of salvation to the Jew first and also in the same way for the Greek. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much. Again, if you wish to have information about our ministry, I will leave on a table there. And thank you so much. Praise the Lord.